I have a short video that I would like to show everybody. It worked perfectly in our 8 o'clock service, so our prayers were answered. Let's see if we get it again. It's interesting that video just showed you what Jane was talking about. We saw really basically the story of the Old Testament. You probably recognize some of the characters in there. And while I would have liked to plan this, Jane and I did not plan that, but we both recognize that it's significant that the book of Luke starts with not Jesus, but John the Baptist. And talking about his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, it was very important to the author of Luke to remind his readers, to remind us that Mary and Joseph were Torah, the Jewish Bible, they were Torah observant Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And they were observant to all of the law that had come before them. So when Jesus came, he was the long foretold Messiah. He was the one that they had all been waiting for. He was not there to start a brand new religion. He was there to be the fulfillment of the religion that they had. And so that's why Luke starts with John the Baptist. And that's also why, as we start our Advent season, we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist too. But first, let's start with something funny. Couple was celebrating their golden anniversary. Their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the town, and a local newspaper reporter was inquiring into their secret of a long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the man. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's mule stumbled. My wife quietly said, 'That's once.' Well, we proceeded a little further when the mule stumbled again, and my wife quietly said, 'That's twice.' We hadn't gone half a mile when the mule stumbled a third time. My wife promptly removed a revolver from her pocket and shot him. I started to protest over her treatment of the mule when she looked at me and quietly said, 'That's once.'" Some of you who have celebrated your golden anniversary might be able to relate to that. What stands out in the story of John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, is that in verse 6, the Bible tells us both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. And yet, they were childless because Elizabeth could not conceive, and they were both very old. These verses seem contradictory because in ancient times, in the time of Jesus, God's blessings were seen as a sign that you had found favor with God, that God loved you. And there was no bigger blessing than the blessing of children. And yet God withholds that blessing from Zechariah and Elizabeth, even though they are credited with being righteous, seeing things the way God saw them. And they followed all of his commands and decrees blamelessly. How can that be? I also think it's interesting that Zechariah, a man who knows who God is, who knows his ways, who knows his nature, that would mean knowing his heart, knowing his kindness, his tenderness, knowing who God is, it's interesting that he becomes afraid when one of God's messengers comes down to talk to him. Verse 12 says, "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear." So it seems possible that you can love God and follow God perfectly, blamelessly, and still not get everything you want. It's possible to know God and to love God and still be surprised by him when he shows up. So today marks the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent, as some of you know, is the church season where we prepare ourselves to celebrate the first time that God came down to earth to live with us. Imagine that. God, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, who has existed for all time, said, "How can I get my children to know I love them? How can I remind my children that I love them? How, when they're going throughout their day and they're facing the things that they go through and they're facing sickness and they're facing disappointment and they're facing fear, how can I remind them the number one thing in the world that I love them?" And he came down to earth in a little baby, in a manger, in a barn. That's astonishing. We get to celebrate that. Advent is the season where we get ready to celebrate that morning 2,000 plus years ago where God came down to earth. Our worship team thought it would be a good idea as we're preparing for this, right, to wrap this journey in a road trip, right? So we are beginning our road trip, the Advent adventure, and our slide's working. There they go. Well, if you're planning a trip, the very first thing that you need to know is what? Where we're going, right? The destination. Where are we going to go? For our destination, I'd like to suggest that we go someplace where we find ourselves closer to God. We're going to go someplace where we find ourselves closer to God. And I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what you're going to see in the next 2 weeks. Next week, we want to talk about understanding the direction. How do we get there? Is there a map? We're going to talk a little bit about detours and distractions along that. And then the following week before Christmas, once you know where you're going to go, once you know how to get there, you really have to take one other critical step. You got to go. You got to depart, right? It's not enough to know God's word. It's not enough to understand it. You have to do it. You have to live it. If we want to go to a place where we're closer to God than we are today, right, we got to go. So let's talk about destination, going to a place where we are closer to God. I have a friend. We'll call him Joe because that's his name. It's a real person. Joseph, like Mary and Joseph. Joe told me this week, he said, "I'm still very angry with God." And he said still because he was referencing a previous conversation we had had when he had told me some of his feelings. You see, Joe's wife is very sick. She has the type of illness that is drawn out and painful and that slowly takes your life away piece by piece. And he was understandably angry at a time when he and his wife were retired and they should be enjoying their kids and their grandchildren. None of that was possible. And not only was she sick, but he was exhausted from taking care of her. I know some of you know how that feels. And he said, "Bob, I'm very angry at God for allowing this to happen. I don't understand." My prayer for Joe is that he can get to a spot, he can journey to a spot, to a place where he stops being angry with God and he starts leaning on God. He starts relying on God. That is my prayer and my hope for each of you this morning on this journey that we're about to go on, that wherever you are, whether you're angry with God or you're perfectly okay with God, whether you are doubting God or you're trusting God, whether you are strangers with God or you're best friends with God, my hope is that come Christmas morning, you're closer to Him. That you can say yes in some very real and very tangible way. I am closer to God now than when we started that very first sermon in Advent season. I have prayed more. I have read my Bible more. I have given more. I have served more. I have loved more. I am closer to Him. Because that changes everything. Being closer to God means that our fear melts away. It means that strength that you didn't know you had, it bursts up through you
and out of you. It means love and compassion are your constant companions. It means that peace, true peace, knowing that everything is going to be okay, knowing that God is never going to leave you, never going to fail you, knowing that God is with us, Emmanuel, that kind of peace. We get that peace with the gift of Jesus. Each year we get to remember that peace. That is the journey that we are getting ready to go on. I don't know where that place is for each of you. Heck, I don't even know where the place is for me sometimes, but I know it's there. I know it's there, and where it is, there's more love, there's less fear, there's more hope, there's more faith, there's more joy, there's less worry, there's less doubt. I don't know where that is, but I hope Christmas morning for each of us, for you, for me, for my friend Joe, that we'll be able to find out for ourselves what that would mean. Please pray with me. Father God, give us the courage once again to live your vision for our lives. Help us be the people that you called us to be. Help us be the people that you created us to be. Help us stop relying on ourselves or the world and help us start leaning on you. Leaning on your Son, Jesus, inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts to guide us, to lead us on this journey to become closer to you. Help us look back on this season as the season that changed everything, where all fear and doubt and worry left us. And we truly began to live life and live the love of your Son, Jesus. We lift all of these prayers up to you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So a little bit shorter prayer today because we have our communion service, a little bit shorter sermon today, and I'm glad I stopped early because we need to get going.